Hallelujah. Let me get a drink of water here. So, kind of been an exciting day, exciting night. I've been praying in the spirit most of the night due to situation that I thought might happen, and it has not and will not today. But when the time arises, it will be dealt with. Nobody in here, just so you know, they're not here today. It's not a bad situation. It's going to be a deliverance. So if it does happen, I'm going to give you a heads up. Don't freak out. But, so God has been showing me some things. And one of the things, I love watching people go after gold. I loved Gold Rush until they kept adding more and more drama to it. And I'm like, come on, it's a soap opera. Dig, man, dig. Come on, I liked watching the equipment more than I liked watching the people. And because I'm a person who loves to dig for things. I love to find the treasure. What one person sees as a mess, I see as the honey hole. There's got to be treasure in there. I've got some items sitting out around my house that, good night, years and years ago, about 20 years ago, more than that now, a guy gave me permission to go through this barn that was falling down. And I mean, when I say falling down, I should not have been in it. And I'm crawling around in there and I'm finding things. Treasures. And so I went and I did. I dug all this stuff out, hauled it out, put it in my truck. That's the kind of stuff I love. See, the Bible talks about things for us. Gold being one of them. That's why I said Gold Rush. I loved watching it. Because, you know, they've got millions of dollars worth of equipment. They've got leases signed. They've got fuel costs. And they get excited over a little bit of dust in that pan. I got excited. So much so, I've even thought about going out and getting me a pan, because every creek in Ohio has a little bit of gold. And I've watched a guy up at Lake Erie at East Harbor Park go up into that black line on the sand, and he goes in and he pans, goes out back to the water, washes it out, and he comes up with gold. I'm like, well, it's kind of stupid to show everybody where you're getting it from. But anyhow, the gold thing. Does anybody know what the price of gold is right now? As of this morning, $4,095.19. For 1 ounce. For 10 pounds, it's $65,520. For 100 pounds, it's $6,552,000. For 100 pounds of gold. Which makes all these gold heist movies seem really ignorant. People walking out with 5 or 6 of those, 10, 20 of them things in their backpack. Oh, yeah, look at all this bullion. Real gold is heavy. It's dense. When it's pure, you one bullion, you're walking out. But gold is probably one of the most precious things on this planet. There's other metals and stuff. Oh, yeah, it's worth all this. Yeah, you can't find that in a creek. I can go to the creek right across the road and I can start panning and I might find a nugget or I might find some dust. And I'm not talking iron pyrite. But gold is something you have to dig for. You have to search for. You have to invest time. You have to sometimes put yourself in danger. You know, the old gold miners that used to go into the sides of mountains. It's dangerous. I think about, I saw a video the other day of it was a mine somewhere, and they had all these posts popped up in there, and you could hear them creaking. Now, I don't know about you, but when there's a mountain on top of me and the only thing holding that thing up right there is some oak posts, I'm not going in. I may be crazy, but I ain't dumb. And so when we get to understanding a little bit about gold, that gold is precious. So precious that even in the book of Genesis, it says that this river was full of gold. Everything in the temple is covered in gold. We are encouraged in the Bible many times. We've talked about things. We see things about being, that's what I'm looking for, refined as silver and gold, right? We know that, Malachi. So what's it mean? How do I get gold? I mean, at $4,000 an ounce? They're expecting it to hit $5,000 an ounce this coming year. It wasn't too long ago, it had just hit $2,000. Just a couple years ago. And everybody's like, oh, this is crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. Considering silver's only $51 an ounce. But you see, God has something else in mind. These scriptures aren't going to come up here. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Okay, now wait a second. I got to come and buy, and then I can eat. What am I buying with? Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I'll stop there. We're encouraged to come and buy. You can't buy your salvation. People have tried. Will it cost you something? Absolutely. It costs you your life. But that's not the gold. We're often encouraged in our Bible to not lay up treasures here, where moth and rust corrupt. Gold will slightly tarnish, but it is not like silver. Silver just has to have a sulfuric atmosphere. You could set it out right here, and the sulfur in the air will turn it black. Gold will just lose a little bit of its shine. When I used to wear a gold band, I'd look down at it after working. I was like, man, it's not so shiny anymore. And I had a buffer out there, and I'd go out and polish it up. And think, woo, look at my pretty ring. Gold can be shined up real quick. Gold never loses its value just because it's not as pretty. If you think I'm kidding, go to a Goodwill or a Salvation Army and find all the silver on the shelves. It's tarnished. People don't want it. You don't ever find gold because it still has value. But people look at silver and they say, oh, you're not worth as much. Because gold is very precious. Again, thus the reason why it's $4,000 an ounce versus $51. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we read about the lukewarm church, the church of Laodicea. They were a wealthy church. They did things. They had soup kitchens. They had clothing ministries. They did whatever they needed. But they had no need of money. And they grew confident in that. So much so that they forgot the joy of their salvation. They had nice suits, nice dresses, drove up in nice carriages. And Jesus said to them, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and I have no need, I have need of nothing,' do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you, I highly advise you, to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." The nakedness, we're told to buy clothing of white. It's righteousness. That's what the clothing represents, robes of righteousness. It covers our shame. That's what Adam and Eve saw. Shame. Shame is something that God did not put shame on. They now equated themselves to the cattle of the field, to a dog. They drew themselves equal with a creation that God did not take that time to breathe the life into. He commanded the life into those animals. He told them to come up out of the ground. He called them forth. But you and me were the descendants. I don't know if you can hear that, but I've got something whistling. We're the descendants of the two beings that God took the time. And I imagine that God's over there in that clay when he's got Adam. I'm going to make a head. I'm going to put those ears on him. I'm going to make that nose. I'm going to make these shoulders. Put good, strong muscles here. He took the time to craft man. And then he took the time to breathe into him. He breathed life into us. We still breathe that life today. That's the Holy Spirit. Every person, whether they're saved or not, is still breathing that life. Here's the thing. Where do we get the gold? Buy from me gold? How do you get gold? Well, if the robe of righteousness is the white clothing, what is the gold? Gold is something that is hard to find. It's difficult. Can be dangerous. But it's got a high price to it. Gold has to be mined out of the ground. And when you get it, you protect it. You don't go off and tell everybody, "Hey, look, I got a bag of gold." And they're going to steal your gold. You keep it close. It is precious. And when it's purified, see, when that's one of the things I loved watching them. They take that gold. Once they did all this sifting, they finally get it down through those machines, which are pretty much the same type of machines they use to make gravel. And then they get it up here, and then it comes down and just keeps breaking down. And gold is so heavy that it sticks. It's not like the sand. The sand, you'll see the sand blown away, but the gold will be stuck. And in natural, they look for boulders. They find the big rocks in the stream beds. When they find those big rocks, they know there's usually gold, because that gold hit that big rock and it deflected and stayed. On the one offshoot of that series, they were in a river. This one was insane, because they had to rappel down. Half the stuff had to be brought in by a helicopter so they could lower it down. It was extremely dangerous. And when you're in Alaska and you're in a suit that has to have hot water pumped into it to keep you from freezing to death, and that the diver would go down in there and he would be searching around those big boulders, and they'd find gold, they'd find chunks. But it was extremely dangerous. I think a couple times they had some of their hooks and stuff let go, had some storms blow things out. But for us to buy gold from God, even in Isaiah, he said, buy without money. How are we supposed to buy gold? The church of Laodicea couldn't pull out a wad of $100 bills and say, here, I need an ounce of gold. That's not how you get it. See, the gold he's telling us to buy is faith. Simple faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is about what they're looking for gold most of the time. It's what they find. But then they take it back, and like on that show, they sift everything out, and then they pull out the black sand. And then they get it out there, and then they melt it. And you see all the dross come off. They scrape the dross off, and they pour pure gold. And then even then, when they take it to sell it, it is tested. They can do an x-ray, and then there's another test. I forget what it's called, but it's actually a fire test, which is what your Bible talks about. See, our lives, we have lots of things, don't we? Each and every one of you has a story. Some of us were raised in a church home. Some of us were not. Some of us had bad things happen to us. Some of us didn't. But we've experienced other things. And so when we are sitting there and we're saying, oh God, I don't know how to get this gold, where's your faith at? Let me help some of y'all out too. You cannot transfer your faith to your children. They have to grow it themselves. They have to mine it. I can encourage my children. I can be the example, and I should be the example. And if you're not being an example of faith for your children, what's your problem? Because it's not because you're not hearing the word. We have our faith. How's it tested? How's it proven? Trials. It's tested. My faith, our faith, was tested with Justin's accident. Your faith got tested. Your faith got tested. Everybody in here, I can go around, start boom, boom, boom. Yep, y'all have had a little bit of a test. And when you're watching your children go through it, it really jerks on your heart. But the reality is, if you keep trying to put your faith into them, they never have faith. Oh, daddy's faith will get me in. No, it won't. No. Because that's mine. I can't give it. I can't give Joe my faith. I can be there and I can believe with him and I can call forth what I can call forth. But in the end, it's Joe's faith. Am I going to see this thing through? So we get our tests, the fires. People, you know, I know they're probably nobody verbalized it, so thank you. Because I said, I didn't hardly speak a word. The words I spoke were carefully chosen during that time. I kept my mouth shut. Oh no, brother, you should have been calling down heaven and glory, and you should have been lit. Tell me what you're doing when you're watching the blood come out of your son's ear. I don't have to be a doctor to know that's not a good sign. No, I kept my mouth shut because my mouth is still flesh. And sometimes that flesh likes to resurrect itself because I knew in my spirit, I'd already declared he's going to be fine. He's got to go through this too. He had to walk through the fire too. And he still gets to walk through the fire just like every one of my children. They get to walk through that fire themselves too. But if I do not walk in faith and show them, I'm still here. You're still here. My faith has been tested many, many times. Well, you just don't understand. Throw something at me. Please, I dare you. Throw something at me that I've not had to walk through. Dad had a stroke. Walked through it with him. I actually had to, I think Rob was there that time. We were, I don't know why it happened. We had this old garage door. I can't remember if we just shut, I think we just shut it. And the wheels popped out. It was a heavy wooden one. And it came down with the two metal ribs. I thought that was a baby. I was like, And it caught my dad right here. We were standing right there, and I caught him. And we started praying. He came to. I won't say he was ever the same. No. He was like that always before. But you see, I've seen things. I've witnessed it. That's my faith going through a fire. So when I tell you just to pray, I expect you to pray. Don't just say, yeah, well, I prayed. No, pray like it's your life. Because I pray like your life is mine. I don't say, oh, Lord God, bless them. Touch them. Man, you forget. Marines don't play strategy and go around it. We blow a hole through the thing and go through it. We attack the real problem. People don't like me because of that. I mean, you need to be more gentler. Let's see. Jesus could come back tomorrow. Could. Do you want me to keep playing patty cake with you about it? If your children are experiencing something, and that goes down to your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, some of you, you pray. You can be that interceding prayer. Because guess what? The words, when they go out, they don't ever go away. We may not hear them anymore, but in the spirit realm, they are still there. Yes. Yeah. I firmly believe that is why we're seeing more universes. That's another word I'm looking for. Galaxies. They're watching them being born. Crazy, isn't it? Why? Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. And then God said. He started creating all that stuff however long ago he did it. He knew they were going to come. He knew everything was going to develop. That's how awesome God is. I had a great, great grandfather who was a deacon in his church. And I was wondering, I thought, Lord, man, did people finally get saved, mom and dad? No. I had a man of God in my life. And I just wonder, did he not pray? Did he not pray for his children? I'm one of his grandchildren. My very own grandfather, I'd forgot about this, but my cousin remembered. The last time we both saw him alive, he took us and prayed over us. I was 4. But he prayed over us. Whatever he prayed is still going out there because God is not trapped by time. The words are eternal. That's why words spoken to you still hurt. Somebody said something to you, it still hurts, even though you can't hear it anymore. In your head, you're replaying it like an old record. But when your faith is being tested, it means you're standing. When you had your heart attack, it's a widow maker. A widower maker in this case. When you have something like that happen, God saw you through, didn't he? And even when you were a little bit weak in that area, because you have brothers and sisters who have strong faith, Even Jesus said when they lowered this man down through the roof, he said, no greater faith. These man, guys, you got some good faith because you took this guy's roof off to get your friend in here. That's how you know they were rednecks. Well, can't get through the crowd, just take the roof off. Or maybe Marines, I don't know. But your faith gets purified. Things like doubt. The economy. If your faith is in your bank account, I recommend you pinch your cheeks real tight. Because it's going to get exciting. There is coming a day and time. And England is trying right now to enforce digital ID implanted into your skin for the right to work. Pretty sure that's what Revelation says. And they don't care if it's written. That's what the scary part is. Well, the United States will never fall for it. Wanna bet? Says every nation. But see, folks, your faith is what needs to be purified. Well, Pastor, don't you think it's all about sin? Yeah, God deals with the sin too. Don't understand. Because you need to understand, unbelief is sin. And if you've seen God move and you still don't believe, please tell me that you understand that's sin. When I tell you to let your children go into God's hands, I mean it. Quit trying to control them. I knew Jesse had to go because Jesse's like his father. Sometimes a little hard-headed, going to do my own thing. And I let him go. He's more on fire for God now than he was up here playing. He serves in a church that's just him. Yeah, he's a greeter. Chases people down, shakes their hand. Makes sure he makes sure that he's there on time. He's right there greeting people, and they love him. It was a little hard when Joshua left, but God reminded me, I can't keep everybody here. People got to go and preach and help. And I'm going to tell you right now what God's doing through Joshua and even Tony and the church they're a part of. It's because of what we taught them. And whether Justin stays or goes, when he steps completely out, when God opens the door for him, we're kind of hoping he stays. All right, God. All my kids are gone. Come on. No. I rejoice knowing that if when my children go, God will protect them. I can't say, oh Lord, I want them to be in sin. No. I want you to protect them. The sin is in their heart. God will deal with it. But I let them go. Us. Our own faith with each other. We have to trust. You know, she always wanted me to wear a wedding ring. Well, I was a mechanic. I painted buses and things like that. And it's like, painting buses, you can't. Because when you run your hand across it to find the spot, you scrape the paint. Well, somebody stole my wedding band. And then I finally got a new one. And then about pulled me off of the roof of a house because it got hooked on a gutter. And I said, that ain't happening no more. But it wasn't because she was afraid I was going to cheat. Her thing was, I want them to know you're not available. Well, it's on there for life. It's not because we doubted each other. Now, trust me, if I see a man coming after her, it's not that I doubt her. I'm her protection. I'm her covering. Why are you flirting with my wife, Jack? That's when you see the old hair bristle up. Puff up. Like an old Tom Turkey. Get away from my woman. It's not because we don't have faith in each other, but our marriage has been tested. Marriage usually has gotten tested with each one of the kids, because Justin was the easiest birth textbook. Joshua, there were some problems. God had to move, and God did. And then we moved. Jesse, there was a lot of problems. And we held on to it. We held on to our faith that he will be fine. He's not supposed to be able to be active. He's supposed to be quiet. The doctor said he's not going to be a well boy his entire life. Well, you were his coach. I think that kind of got nullified. Justin, it was textbook. And the devil went after the one thing. He went after his psyche, after his ego. And then he just tried to flat out kill him. And I'm here to tell you, my faith is so strong in God. When I watched that helicopter take off, I said, God, I'll be there with him in a minute. And I kid you not, I don't know. They hadn't been on the ground very long, apparently, or else the guy waited. I don't know what happened, but it's just like, it was a quick trip. We got to the hospital's lickety-split. So then we start this church. Oh, Lordy, this is kind of scary. The pastor I had before sent out a letter to everybody in the church, said, I have no faith in him. Didn't word it quite like that, but that's exactly how there's a couple of you got it. That was the gist of it. I got no faith, but here's a church. Well, the one church that was recommended exploded. My faith is in my God. And that's why when he tells me to do something, I do it. If he tells me not to do something, I don't do it. I try not to. And sometimes in my own personal life, I'm a little stupid. Got the scars to prove it. But you see, even that serves as a test. Yeah, I broke my back. That was a really crappy day. It was the actual anniversary of the church. But you know what? Some may focus on the fact, well, you disobeyed God and you broke your back and da 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 da. No, what I see is God prevented me from being killed. Because more times than not, people are killed by trees falling on them. Not get up, walk over to a side by side, and then walk to your house and get in a hot tub for 45 minutes, and then go to the doctor. Doesn't happen. Every time I told any nurses, they're like, you did what? I got up and I walked. One, I knew I was hurt, but I cried out to Jesus. He saved me. When he told me to move, I moved. Little things matter too, and that's how you start with that little mustard seed of faith. It's not supposed to stay a mustard seed. It's supposed to grow. When we were there in New York, we kept coming across all these acorns, which I got to get them out of your car. I got all these acorns from these white oaks. These massive trees, start from a teeny tiny little seed. And they're strong. And they provide life. But if that tree never grows beyond what it is right now, it'll never produce seed. It'll never provide life for the deer and the squirrels. That's what your faith is supposed to do. Our jobs, first off, as parents and as pastor, is to encourage you in that. I'm praying for you. I'm praying. I got you back. But if you're sitting there saying, I'm going to die, I can't override your will. People think that you can do that. That's called witchcraft. Doesn't happen. Or it's not going to happen. But Jesus told the church of Laodicea, buy gold from me. Purified gold. When we say yes, Jesus, well, there we go. We started our walk. And like I think I told some of you last week, you know, I can look around and I can see all of your lives. I know some of the, I know just about everything many of you have been through. And I'm thrilled. Why? Because your gold is being purified. See, it's not got those black spots in them. Black spots are impurities. Things that look real. But you've got to make up your mind, I'm standing. Because I've had many, well, I'm standing. Well, if you're standing, then you need to activate your faith with your actions too. With Justin, I chose just to keep quiet and thank the Lord. With Jesse, every day I had his picture in the incubator taped on my toolbox. And I thank God for his healing. And next, man, what's it say when the kid's a fighter? I'm going to brag on a little bit. They had to put him in a coma. He was fighting the machine. So they induced a coma so that he would relax. But he wanted to live so bad and do it in his own terms. And yes, he was the one we would catch crawling up the scaffolding here, hanging from the gas pipe in the basement by his fingertips because he built a Tom and Jerry ladder with boxes and chairs and things. And it did not stay. And that's why I told him, I said, he's like, I gotta do all this adventurous stuff. I said, that's fine. Just don't get my son killed. Well, Dad, there's been wars going on and battles, and ships have been sent out and brought back. And God put your son on a dry docked aircraft carrier. Because just like God wouldn't let me go to the desert, he wouldn't let Jesse go out. Because Jesse does have a calling on his life. All of our children have callings, whether they recognize them or not. They may not be doing what I'm doing, but your child has a special purpose. Pray for them. Encourage them, hold them when you have to, but there comes a time you got to stand. That's the hard part. I know I sound like a jerk sometimes because people don't know how to understand. If we keep treating children like babies, they stay babies. If I keep treating you like a baby, you'll stay like a baby. That was never the point of a church. That was never the point of the gospel. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child, and I acted like a child. He said, but I'm a man. I put away my childish things. And a lack of faith is childish in a believer. I've had believers that know, I've been believing since before you was born. Okay, why ain't you acted like it? Where's the fruit? Well, God knows my heart. Yeah. See, that's one way that they do test gold. It's x-ray. They can look in that gold and they can find. Don't you think God's got x-ray vision? I love it. People, God knows my heart. You better believe he knows your heart. And it's rotten, Mr. Grinch. Your heart needs purified. Your faith needs purified. Tests will do that. Trials. Because all the good works we do, and we still need to do them. That's the wood, hay, and stubble. They're things everybody can see. But nobody knows your heart like you do. You know, maybe the hatred you have towards somebody else, or the disloyalty, or there's a word I was looking for. Yeah, it escaped me. Oh, the jealousy. That was the other one. The jealousy you have towards another brother or sister. Well, why isn't God doing this in my life? Have you walked their path? Yeah. Have you walked in their shoes? Did you walk when she had to? Were you in her shoes when she had that heart attack? When he had his heart attack? There's been a few others in here. Were you in their shoes? No. Well, they just need to believe, brother. Yeah, it's a lot easier said than done sometimes. And I know lots of people. I know one person said, oh, well, we believe this. Why has God let all this happen? You had no testimony. Now you've got a testimony because you went through a test. And without that test, there is no testimony. There's no purifying and getting the unbelief out. Adam and Eve did not believe the word of God. They chose their own path. Wake up. Warm up. This is the lukewarm church. They were prosperous. Look at what we've built. Look at what we've done. Look at the corral of equipment we have. And I'm going to stop right there. Look at all the, okay, great. Why do you have bank accounts in the multi-million dollar range? Well, we need to keep that backed up. So what you're telling me is you really don't have faith in God that he's going to provide it. Since day one, that we made an agreement, a covenant. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. We entered into a covenant with the people that owned this. No money down. And if something happened, they got the building back. No big deal. We weren't in the hole. But God paid it off. He paid it off while we were remodeling it and turned it into a beautiful sanctuary so that we could come and be warm or be cool. Some of y'all might remember the first couple services for a while. We had kerosene heaters. I'm sure there's some sort of building code that's a violation of. Definitely a fire code. Having grown up with kerosene heaters, I was not a fan of the smell. We'd have a heater up here with a pan of water on it. But we were warm. And boy, did we know how to sweat in the summer. But you know what, folks? Some of you have been here with us through this. You've seen all of it. And I've had people tell me, I just didn't see your vision. Didn't know where you were going with this, but he said, I'm going to tell you right now, I see God has done it. It's because I'm a simpleton. The Bible says he'll use the simple things to confound the wise. Do you know how simple it is to just believe? Okay, I believe. I'll end with this. There was a show, I'm going to guess humanistic, but it was Malcolm in the Middle. I don't know why, but I liked it. Maybe because I had three sons too. And I imagine they all acted like this sometimes. But in one episode, Reese, the main troublemaker, still in the house, he ran off and joined the army. And he was a hardhead. And they kept asking him, "Why are you such a hardhead?" He said, "I don't know." And he said, "I just turned off my brain." "What is your job?" "To do whatever you tell me to do." Remember Forrest Gump? "Why are you in this army, boy?" "To do whatever the drill sergeant tells me to do." That's simple faith. "Why are you a Christian?" "To do whatever God tells you to do." God tells you to pack 100 boxes, then you pack that 100 boxes. Give us heads up, though, since we're paying for the shipping. If God tells you to give somebody across the street a basket of fruit, why haven't you done it yet? Waiting for the opportune time. Well, there's a saying, no better time than the present. Take it. Go. I see that God moves so many times if we're just obedient right then and right there. And I'd like to say that the trials and the testing come to an end. Yeah. But you know what grows? My faith. See, I looked at my Bible and I see where three men were thrown into a fire. And another one joined them. Okay. I see where Daniel was thrown into a pit with lions. And they didn't harm him. I see where John was boiled in oil. And he died in his bed, an old man taking care of Jesus' mama. I see where Paul was stoned, left under a pile of rocks a couple times, crawled out. What are you afraid of? What are you going to do, take away your birthday? We're so afraid to trust God. It's not like he's asking you to go over and take on the entire Russian army by yourself. He's asking you to do what you have to do here. And this is the first start of what real revival is. Real revival is repentance. So many times we have focused on the financial side. I know many churches, preachers in particular, we can't use used items. There's only a handful of new items in this sanctuary. And the ones that aren't were bought on clearance. Because guess what? You're a used item too. You're imperfect. You got your scars, your nicks, your dings. God will buff those out. You'll look back. You remember when this happened? See, there's a ding there. Well, in my case, I got a few scars here and there. Remember that one right there? Yeah, I remember that scar. I remember where I was at when I got it. And that's the day I learned vinyl siding will lay you open quicker than a razor blade. I learned not to cut corn cobs with the grass clippers with this scar. I learned my little pen knife is not made for cutting model fenders off. I got a couple in my head to tell you that crowbars should not be used in a certain way, particularly over your head. let God purify you. It only comes through surrender, and it's hard. You pray for your loved ones, but they have to work this out. Because I know I got a handful of situations in here right now with people doing that. They're trusting God, and people are letting go. God, they're yours. Because trust me, I understand the hardest part is to do this. God says, a mama or a papa, this is what you've done since day one. We can tell as a parent, we'll speak from this point because God does too, this is what's going to happen. I've already been down this road, but you may have to walk it. And when you walk it, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. I look back and there's things my dad tried to instill. I didn't fully understand and probably wouldn't have until I went down that road. And all my boys, I've helped them work on their cars. I've always kind of let them go. Call me if you need me. And I let Justin do it the other day, and he's where he called, Dad, I'm stuck. Help me. Came out. A couple minutes later, bam, boom. It's back together. He said, what is it with you and Joshua? Every time I turn around, I need help. It takes you 5 minutes, and you got it back together. And I said, buddy, I've been doing it since I was 15. I said, that's 40 years. I said, I've learned a few things. Same thing with you coaches. I've learned what works and what don't work. We have examples in our Bible of good men and women of God who were human. Maybe a couple times Paul should have stopped. But he kept going. Next thing you know, here comes a rock. God's like, it's not your time, Paul. Listen to me, I was trying to get you to shut up. Because you're the one going to deal with the headache. All right, let's stand. So there was three closings. And so this week, when God puts somebody on your heart, just start praying for them right then. Don't go find a closet. Don't go find, get away. You just start praying for them. Well, people are going to think I'm crazy. We already do. So you're in good company. And by the way, remember, I think it was last week I told you guys about the 3 to 4 a.m. slot. So, yeah, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said, yeah, I get up. I said, I got a weird neighbor. I get up, go to the bathroom, and look out the window. She's out there with a fire going at 3 in the morning. He said, she's a hateful, bitter woman. Hates Christians. I said, I don't know what she's sowing in that fire. If you remember, I told you last week, 3 to 4 a.m. is the witching hour. It's when witches and Satanists believe that the spirit realm is closest. And if God wakes you up between those times, pray. Oh, but I think I need to pray 2 hours. Well, then you pray 2 hours. But I can bet you're going to fall asleep before you hit that second hour. But we're entering into a world where we thought we'd never see things happening. There are demons in people. Demons are starting to show their face, literally. And there's going to come a time they're going to be dealt with. Just like Phil and I were talking this morning, there's a woman that followed the Apostle Paul. Behold, these men are men of God. Hear what they say. She kept going forth to Paul, turned around and said, in Jesus' name, come out of her. She was a psychic. She used to tell people the future. She lost her income. The guy who owned her lost her income. And they had Paul arrested and beaten. I think it was Barnabas. Yeah. All because Paul delivered somebody. But she did it day after day, and finally Paul was fed up with it. Boy, don't you think that caused a stir? What happens when the devil starts finding out his people are getting kicked out? People are being delivered. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you once again for your goodness. Lord, we do not rejoice in the fact that we have authority over demons, Lord, but we do rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I thank you now that you're giving each and every last one of us revelation on the gold in our own lives, Father. May we focus on our lives and quit focusing on others. Lord, we all got the same word. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're building your people up. Lord, and when they're in that test, and they're in that trial, Father, remind them to hold fast. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord God. I thank you, you're moving in their lives. You're making their path straight. Father, you're removing obstacles that have risen up that are meant to deter them from what they're supposed to be doing. In Jesus' name, amen.